message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
It's a privilege for us to have this opportunity to share again with you with the Word of God and the wonderful message of the wonderful grace of God. You know, the Bible says, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. And it's important, you notice what he says, rejoice in the Lord. That's not simply to rejoice by the Lord's help. That's not simply the Lord helping me to be happy. No. That's rejoicing in the Lord. That is, we're to rejoice in what God has accomplished for us, what God has done for us. And God has done so much. You know, it's important that you understand the love of God. Paul says that God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The fact that Jesus Christ died at Calvary, and when He died there, He died and paid for our sin debt. Jesus Christ died at Calvary, and when He died on the cross, God took our sin, the Bible says, and placed it on the body of His own Son and poured out His wrath against our sin. The Bible says that God made His soul an offering for sin. And they took Him, He died there, He cried on that cross, I thirst. The rich man in hell in Luke chapter 16 cries, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and put it on my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Jesus Christ literally took what the Bible describes as the torments of hell. He suffered the second death, the transformation of condemnation in His soul for you. At Calvary, God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I draw that picture, that little representation of Calvary's cross up there, because I want you to have it impressed in your mind today that God's love for you is not tied. My friend, listen, God's love, His value and His esteem of you is not tied to your financial situation today. It's not tied to friendships. It's not tied to broken romances and lost friends and lost money. It's not tied to your health. It's not tied to your wealth. It's not tied to your social standing. It's not tied to what nationality you are. It's not tied to what religion you are. God's love for you is tied to only one thing, and that's tied with the cords of love to the cross of Calvary. God Almighty, historically, objectively, where you can't deny it, has demonstrated His maximum love for you, and that while you were yet a sinner, you weren't seeking Him. You weren't trying to please Him. You weren't trying to do right. You were a sinner. You were a rebel. He says, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When you were helpless, without strength to pick yourself up and to go and please Him, Christ died for you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us in our rebellion. In our, we're going to do it our way. You know what? You know the middle letter of the word sin. You see that word sin, S-I-N. You see the middle letter in that word. That's our problem. The problem is not somebody else. The problem's us, folks. The problem in life and the problem with sin is me. It isn't blaming somebody else that's going to be the answer. It's recognizing that I have a problem, and the wonderful news is God went to Calvary and died and paid for all that's wrong with me. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, He died for you and He died for me. And in that cross work, He has accomplished for us everything that God ever requires. The Bible says that Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God Almighty raised up the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, and God today has formed the church, the body of Christ. It's called the thing that God's doing in the world today is forming a body of believers, identifying them together with the Lord Jesus Christ on the basis of His grace. Grace is all that God is free to do for you through the finished work of Christ. When you come as a sinner, you realize that you're helpless, that you need a Savior, that you need somebody beyond you, something beyond your wisdom, that it's not in your ability to be religious or not religious, it's not in your human viewpoint and your wisdom that you're going to do it your way, it's not in giving to this charity and that charity and performing this good philanthropic act and this eleemosynary institution having your support. What you need is something that you can't do. You come to the place where you realize that all that you do isn't enough. God says, I've got an answer. If you'll trust my Son, God the Holy Spirit will take you and put you in Christ. And then in Him, everything that belongs to Him, all of His righteousness becomes yours. All of His glory in the future becomes yours. And it's a free gift of God. Grace is all that God is free to do for us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Another way, that when He says rejoice in the Lord, that's what He's talking about. He's not talking about God coming in and manipulating circumstances in your life just to make life easy for you. No. Don't be so selfish. Don't be so short-sighted. Don't be so manipulative of God. No, come and recognize what God's doing and how He's made you a part of His great purpose. And oh, my friend, the purpose of God, it's not just to come in and make life easy for you. It's to give you the privilege by His grace to be a part of a great eternal program and purpose that He's accomplishing. And He's doing it all in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. That's why it says, rejoice in the Lord. Another way of saying that, Paul says it in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, the same way you received Him and got saved, so walk in Him. Your Christian life over here as a believer in time, from the moment you trust Christ till you die until the Lord comes for us, death of the rapture, it's on the same basis as getting saved. You get saved by grace through faith in what Christ did. He did it all. You couldn't do anything. He had to do it. Your Christian walk, the progress through life, and that's what the Christian life is supposed to be, is a walk. So walk ye in Him. When you walk, you walk in unison with Christ, with what He's doing. And what He would do. And there's this flow. To walk is to make progress through life. You walk through life. You put one foot in front of the other and you get somewhere. And the Christian life is a life of getting somewhere. You progress out of sin. You progress into godliness. And you progress and work unto the good works that God ordained that the body of Christ would accomplish. You see, the Christian life is a challenging thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's not just going to church on Sunday for a couple hours and then go... It's a whole life, a transforming life that brings forth the fruits of righteousness by Jesus Christ, which are under the praise and glory of God. You see, what God's doing is forming a spiritual body of believers today, putting His Spirit in them, the Spirit of His Son in them, and having literally an outbreak of His righteous character on the stage of human history and through the tents of flesh that you and I as members of the body of Christ occupy through us. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It's not me living anymore, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithful faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know what He's saying? As you have received, therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. Get that. Rooted, He takes you and He places you in the living union with Christ. We talked about that last time, about that by the Spirit of God baptizing us in the living union with Christ. Just as my hand is in living union with my arm and the life of my body flows through that hand. And that hand is me. So I'm in living union with His body. That's the illustration, the body, the hand, the arm, a body, a living union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're partakers of His life. But there's another descriptive term here. Not only are we rooted in Him, and you're rooted in Him by that one divine baptism. Paul says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's the one baptism by the one Spirit into the one body. He says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And my friend, the one baptism that is in operation today by Almighty God, it's the operation of God through the faith of Christ, Colossians 2 says. That one baptism that God operates today is by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We're placed into living union with God's Son. We're put into Christ by the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit, when you get saved, when you trust Christ, God the Holy Spirit does that for you. That's one of your assets. And you don't need, and that's it. He did it. Now you say, but what about the preacher when he came along and did it again? Well, that's for the preacher to answer. But the problem and the difficulty with that is, and it sure happened to me, and it's happened to thousands and thousands and countless multitudes of others, is they point to some physical ceremony and they never tell you about that. But you see, it's not religious externalism that God's accomplishing today, but God's putting His life in the inner man. And then that life in the inner man lives out. It's Christ who lives in me that's living out through me. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the key. He's in our bodies of flesh, living in us, living His life out. And we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That's why the verse goes on and says, God doesn't just root us in Christ, but it says, built up in Him. He builds us up. That's what God's doing in the present. It's a present passive participle. It's what God is doing right now. He's constantly building the believer up in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not out by ourselves. We're not just off on our own. He's put you into Christ and He's building us up in Christ because the program, everything God's doing is in His Son. You know what makes grace so wonderful is that it makes everything out of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul calls the offense of the cross. What's offensive about the cross of Christ is not that it's not an intellectual. It's not that it's not powerful. It's not that it can't affect. It's that it. The thing that's offensive is it says you can't do anything. You can't think hard enough. You can't work hard enough. You can't be good enough. You can't even be so bad enough. You just have to have what God does for you. That's where the blessing is. And that's it. God is building something into your life as a believer. And I talk to you as though you were a believer. And I don't know you. Maybe you aren't. But I talk to you as though you were so you can understand what it is that God has for a believer. Maybe you're religious today. Maybe you don't give a thought to your spiritual life. I don't know. I don't know you. I wish I did. Wish we could sit down personally, but we can't right now. But we can talk this way. And my friend, this is what the Bible describes a believer to be. And if you're not a believer, I hope you see the difference between all the other things out in the world and what God says. And if what you thought a Christian is different from what these verses are saying, if what you thought the Christian life is different from what these verses are teaching, then that's just the difference between what God says and what somebody else has been telling you. You see, there's liberty in Christ. There's love and lasting joy and stability in Him, and that's where everything God has for you. Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul was going to leave some of his friends at Ephesus. And as he was parting from them, seeing them for the last time, no doubt, he says to them, "Now, brethren," Acts 20:32, "I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." Paul said, "I'm going to commend you to God and to the word of His grace." That is, that's the word that Jesus Christ committed to us through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. The words of Christ to us today are not found in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John back there. That's the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ to the nation Israel. But if you go back into these books back here, you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't ministering to you and to me today, but rather He had another ministry. This is His prophetic purpose in time past. But that program's been set aside. And today God has sent a very special message to you and to me in the dispensation of the grace of God, and is found in the Word of God, rightly divided, in Romans through Philemon in your Bible. Now, my friend, that message is a message of grace. And Paul said, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. If God's going to work in your life, it's going to be through the Word of His grace. And that Word of His grace is able to build you up. It's able to edify you. It's able to build into your life resources that you can rely upon in order to help you, to train you, to teach you, to give you the capacity to live in the details of your life for the glory of God. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? He says He'll build you up. He roots you in Christ. He puts you in living union with Him. And then He builds you up in Him. He takes you and He brings you to edification, to maturity. Look back at Colossians 2, verse number 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. That's it. To be built up means to have a firm foundation laid where you're established. You're solidly, firmly fixed in the faith as you have been taught. The Christian life will not operate on the basis of ignorance. That's the reason this is a Bible teaching ministry. That's the reason from the time we come on the air to the time that I'm through, we hit the floor running. Verse, go, 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 teach the Bible, because that's what's going to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. We're built up in Him and established in the faith as you've been taught. Now, the issue today for the believer, the issue is not how many people are in the building, how many warm bodies we can get in cold pews, how many people we can get on the bus and get them there, how many people follow our doctrine. The issue today is sound doctrine. And there isn't any other issue for the believer today. Are you believing sound doctrine? Are you resting in the truth of God's Word, rightly divided? 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 13, the Apostle Paul says, hold fast the form of sound words which was heard of me. There they are, written down in a Bible. Get a King James Bible and read them. Romans to Philemon, the form, the pattern of sound words which was delivered unto me in faith. He said, hold them fast, get a grip on them and hang on to them. Don't let them go. That good thing which was committed unto thee, he said, Christ gave these to me, and I'm giving them to you. That good thing which was given, committed to thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. That word keep is a military term. It means to go out and guard it and protect it and maintain it, and don't let it fall away. But keep them by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You see, the issue is sound doctrine today. Now go back to Colossians and I'll show you why. Just as Satan, back here in the kingdom program, back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, early Acts, just as Satan opposed the kingdom program when our Lord was on the earth, so he opposes Christ's program today through the mystery program, through the body of Christ. You see, Satan opposes what God's doing. Now, back here in time past, when the Lord Jesus Christ came to establish a literal, physical, visible, earthly kingdom on this planet, He came back preaching about the repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and had a purpose of coming back to this earth. He came over here to redeem the nation Israel so that He could bring in His kingdom over here and be Emmanuel, that is, God dwelling with man. And when He came to do that and to reclaim this planet and to establish His kingdom on it, Satan opposed that program by physically intervening and seeking to corrupt the nation Israel with demon possession, devil possession, and possess the people and inflict sickness on them and debilitate them and to cause them not to be the vehicle through whom Christ would restore that kingdom. Well, just so, when God changed His program from the physical earthly kingdom through Israel to the spiritual heavenly kingdom through the body of Christ, the spiritual body of believers, when God changed from the prophetic program to the mystery program, Satan changed his program too. He understands what God's doing and he opposes what God is doing. Not what somebody thinks God might be doing, but he knows what God's doing. Notice Colossians 2 verse 8, how Paul warns about it in the next verse. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Listen, my friend, there are other programs in this world besides God's program. Satan has seen to that. There are other programs, and he says somebody's going to come along and spoil you. They're going to take you captive and carry you off in a snare through philosophy, a lover of wisdom, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after what Christ is doing as is revealed in His Word. You say, well, what are some of those systems, preacher? Well, go on down in the chapter, and he'll show you. Verse number 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or new moon or Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Look at here, folks. You're going to have to understand something about that book if you're going to stay out of the snare of the devil. That's why I say the Christian life won't operate on the basis of ignorance. You see, Satan uses the word, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or new moons or Sabbath days. Those are scriptural things. Those are things found in the Bible. That's some list of things. I mean, here are things that are found in the Scripture. There are systems that seek to derail the body of Christ. How? By getting the body of Christ to go back over here in time past or over here in the ages to come and do things that those people are supposed to do or do things that these people are supposed to do, but things that in here are not appropriate. In other words, these are scriptural things, but they're not dispensational. The things quote the Scripture, they follow the Scripture, they say, well, we're doing what the Bible says, we're speaking where the Bible speaks, and yet they're not rightly dividing the Word of truth, and as the result, they bring the believer into the snare and of the devil. They bring him into confusion, they bring him into disrepute, they make him a captive. Beware lest any man spoil you. We would say, watch out lest a man makes you a prisoner of war. You know the term. We use it. We say, to the victor belong the spoils. That's the booty that you capture after you fight a battle. And you get in the battle with Satan, and if you can't rightly divide the Word, and you're not established in the faith as you've been taught, if you don't understand Pauline doctrine, you're going to be taken captive and made a prisoner of war, and you're going to be a MIA in the battle for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be back over here trying to do something that God doesn't require you to do, doesn't desire you to do, never told you to do, won't help you do. Are you going to go over there in the ages to come and try to do something that you can't do? And you're going to run into absolute confusion and frustration. And the Word of God's going to be like a millstone around your neck trying to do things that God isn't doing today. Why is that? Because they've been snared. The problem, verse number 18, let no man beguile you. Don't let somebody come along and trick you of your reward and a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which they've not seen. Vainly puffed. That's all kind of religion and human viewpoint. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head, that's Christ, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. You see, that what we're to do is to hold the head. The problem with all the other programs is not that they're not scriptural. The problem with all the other programs, I mean, some of them are scriptural. I know some of them aren't. But some of them do quote Scripture, use Bible. The problems with all the other programs is that they don't remember that the blessing is in Him, that everything we have is in Him, that we're joined to Him, and that the result is that it's from Him that all the nourishment has to flow. They're not holding the head. You say, what does that mean? Chapter 3, he says, if you be then be risen with Christ, if you're risen with Him, you died with Him, you've been risen with Him, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Don't set your affections on the earthly program. Set your affections on the heavenly program. Put your affections on what God's accomplishing for you today in Christ, where He's seated you together with Him in heavenly places and blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Set your affections on those things above that God is accomplishing today in His Son. and realize that that's what works. Focus on Him, on the right program, on all that we have in Him. That's what works. That's what brings production, fruit, joy in the Christian life, because that's what God's doing today. That's why He goes on to say, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know what's going to make your Christian life, what's going to make your life vital and victorious? You see, the Christian life's not something that you work up, but it's something that works itself out of you. It's God that works in you both to will and do His good pleasure. The thing that's going to do that is to be able to abound in an understanding, being built up, established in a faith as you've been taught, abounding in what God and in an understanding of what God's done for you in Christ with thanksgiving. Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. That's not, oh, how I love Jesus. That's, oh, how He loves even me. The love of Christ, His love for me. When I appreciate how much He values and esteems me, by looking at Calvary and all that God's accomplished for me there, that creates a true motive for faithful service. That's the motivation of grace. That's God's grace motivating me to serve Him out of gratitude and love, and to do it faithfully. For one, not to try to get anything from Him, but because He's blessed me so and done so much for me. You know, my friend, I pray like Paul did that all of this would become a reality in your life. That you'd rejoice in the Lord. That you'd be happy about what God's made you and done for you in Christ. And you'd let that work. And if you've never trusted Him, if you've never become a part of what God's doing today, let me invite you. Let me encourage you. Yes, let me challenge you right where you are to make that choice. It's a decision of your faith to believe what God said and trust His Son to be the Savior that He died and rose again for you to be. Do it today. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Rejoicing in Grace. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at the Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 129. That's tape offer number 129. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. We trust our study together has been a help to you. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.